Now we have to make sure we can pay for our groceries. SongTrust removes the complexity of the publishing landscape and offers detailed access to data otherwise not directly available, helping songwriters, artists, producers, managers, publishers, labels, lawyers, distributors, and more simplify music rights management and the administration of music publishing assets, performing rights, and digital licensing. SongTrust provides solutions for corporate clients including CD Baby, Downtown Music Publishing, The Orchid, Symphonic, and Sub Pop Publishing. You want to be sure and visit songtrust.com/pubcast to take advantage of their 20% off the one-time registration just for listening to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. And now let's get on with our episode. Hello, listeners. I cannot wait for you all to check out this episode of the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. We get to hang with Thalia Ewing, also known as the Music Queen, and Mimi McCarley. They're both founders of Nashville Is Not Just Country Music. I'm excited as we peer into Nashville's vibrant urban community. Welcome back, listeners. Today on our episode of the Nashville AIMP Pubcast, we are going to be hanging out with Nashville Is Not Just Country Music, which is awesome. And we have Thalia and Mimi with me today. I'm excited to delve into the world of urban music. And I haven't been a musician in town for a long time, but a lot of people don't know this about me, but back in my early days in Nashville, I played in a lot of R&B and bands. I managed some hip-hop acts. So when I was introduced to Thalia, I was excited to bring her on as we're starting to really broaden our base here and realize Nashville is not just country music. So, ladies, I'm going to throw it to you to give us a little background and let us know who you are.
My name is Thalia Ewing, a.k.a. Music Queen. I am a native Nashvillian, and I work in urban music publishing and also founder of Nashville's Not Just Country Music, community-based organization where we focus on music business education, networking, shows, any kind of way to kind of help the independent artists advance in their career wherever they are.
So love that.
It's kind of a general synopsis.
Yeah. I dig it. Yeah. Mimi,
awesome.
Jump in.
I'm Mimi. Thanks so much for having us here today, Tim. But I'm Mimi McCarley, owner of Collab Music Network, and I am a creative myself, so I'm a songwriter. And when, in 2015, I started collaborating with everybody in Nashville. I've written with so many people, and I kind of set out on a different mission. As a creative, I am all about collaboration. And so it was bringing people together to develop catalog. Like, that was a thing. I had a lot of friends who had cell phones and computers and hard drives full of unfinished music. And I became obsessed with helping people finish. Say, hey, well, if you got half a song and I got half a song, let's flip-flop. You help me finish. And so that's kind of what started Collab Music Network. And so I met Thalia by recommendation of a couple of friends. Two people were like, hey, you got to meet this girl named Music Queen. Y'all are going to be awesome and blah, 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 blah. So I called her up like, hey, what's up? I'm Mimi. A couple people said I need to meet you. And so she's like, let's meet up tomorrow. We met at a Panera Bread downtown, was it? And we've been rocking ever since. Like, I went into that meeting not knowing what to expect. And this lady has a lot of passion, a lot of enthusiasm. I thought I was passionate before I met her, and then I had to check my passion. And so it just made sense. She was doing a lot of publishing administration at the time, and she had three clients at the time.
Right.
And I was running many songwriter boot camps. And I said, hey, can I run my camp with your writers? And she was like, wow, I never even thought about something like that. So I kind of infused my world into her world, and we've been rocking ever since.
And so the focus has been in urban music, songwriting, production, things like that, just wanting to be the urban music publisher in Nashville, feeling there was a void there.
Absolutely a void.
And wanting to fill that void and, again, help the urban music community with their career, letting them understand about publishing, why it's important, how that happens. You eat and hip hop working in corporate music business, I get to see all the missing splits and how much money is really not being paid out because of simple, you know, conversations that need to be had. So that's part of the education part, is putting them in these situations to let them know, hey, you need to have these conversations. You need to talk about your splits. You need to turn those in so that we can get them registered. You know, all of these other parts of the business outside of just the creating and collaboration. So that's how we kind of came together. She's the creative, I'm the business, and we put those things together to help the urban music community monetize their music, because that's what this is all about. We don't, it's not a hobby. We want it to be career, you know.
I love that thought, that especially the education. This comes up a good bit in our episodes that we talk to people on our admin, one that we recently did as well. It's come up that there's so much missing pieces. So mm-hmm. often they know how to put their music out. They know how to create the music.
Right.
But as you just stated, if you don't do the business side right, you don't collect
your
money.
You don't get money. Any money. And then you're...
And I know we all do this for the love of music, which, A, first and foremost, we do. But it's really nice to get paid for what you've
absolutely.
Created.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Service.
And, you know...
We bypass the most simple thing. So like you said, the content, the artwork, everything looks great online and it's dope and all of this stuff, and nobody's being compensated, and everybody's kind of faced with this idea of, I want to do music full time, and how do I prevent myself from going to clock this job? And I'm like, we're missing a very fundamental piece of music business, which is the split sheet. And so at my studio, and when I would have collaborations, people would look at me funny and foreign. Like, I'm like, hey, let's, after the song is written, I collect split sheets on the spot. And they were like, well, what? So I had to do a lot of,
like, what is a split sheet?
Yeah, we had to do a lot of education. There's a artist in Nashville. He's popping artist, and my very first session with him, and we were talking about, you know, what we were doing, and we talked about splits and how we're going to document this process, and he said, what is that? I don't do anything without a manager present. And I was like, and he had several records out that were doing well, and I'm like, this is problematic.
So yeah, we saw the problem and want to be a part of the solution.
Absolutely.
And again, that's just simple education, and we don't expect you to be experts. We just need you to know the bare minimum of what's going on. Because if I come and ask you, hey, do you have your publishing set up? And you tell me, yeah, ASCAP is my...
that's what we
then
get
Then I
most.
Already kind of know you don't know what you need to know.
Yeah, my publisher is ASCAP.
Yeah, we need to have a conversation.
Well, let's explain that. I'm going to dumb this back down. I always tell people we put it in a language people don't understand. So... in our world, that happens a lot. I mean, whether you're in the country format, pop format, urban format, that's across the board, we get that. Yeah, I'm published through BMI, ASCAP, or CSAC, because there's the three main PROs. That is not a publisher.
Right.
Those are just your PRO, which is your performance rights organizations, which collect your airplay and some of your streaming performance money as well. So, and they do collect some of your performance from sync. However... that is not a publisher, right?
Right, correct. And that's what I have to explain to them. I'm like, we can set you up as a publisher at this PRO, but that is not your publisher. So it's really is educating. And me being an independent publisher, I want to be in a position to empower. So it's not like, hey, you don't have a publisher, sign with me. Let's get you set up with your own publishing and I can admin it for you. So I still want to be putting people in a position of power and ownership and understanding,
absolutely.
You know, so that they can still move forward in their career with their ownership, because that's really important, you know.
One of the things we learned early on is that people knew just enough about publishing not to be ignorant, but not enough about it to be informed. So it's like, well, I'm not giving away my publishing, but I'm like, okay, so are you equipped to be the publisher?
Right.
And do you know
what
the
that
role
means
of a publisher and what that means, even for your own catalog? And a lot of times people did not. And so again, that's where the education, like conversations in the studio, conversations outside of the studio, we try to keep the creative space. But we just started, you know, I like to call it educating through the process. So kind of like the earn while you learn type of deal. So what I would do when we were developing a song, it's different points where the business would come into play. So whether it was a co-writing agreement or whether it was a production agreement, like we would talk about and unpack these agreements, you know, during the process so they understand it and its relevance.
I think that's one of the most beautiful things about now. I've always said since I've been in town since the 80s, but I as a professional, I guess you'd call it, in 93 is when I started working in music publishing. And same thing when I was managing some of the urban acts and the R&B space and the praise and worship side, that I realized that there wasn't as much community there as there was in the Nashville mm-hmm. country market mm-hmm. per se, or even in the rock or pop.
Right.
And probably now more than ever, Nashville's in this really beautiful space of community.
Yes.
And that's what,
mm-hmm.
as you pointed out,
yes.
is so vital that you can't grow a market without some sort of leadership mm-hmm. and focus and mm-hmm. community. And mm-hmm. I love that you're coming, because it was still lacking pretty hard in the 90s, but we had a very vibrant scene because Atlanta was really hopping at the time, and mm-hmm. there was a lot going on, and we were tied into some of that. And so I'd ask this, like, as a scene as a whole, I have started seeing it really kind of come up again. And I think some of it's surely from you guys helping organize and more people coming into the market space. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that starting to grow more? Because I always thought Nashville, nothing against people in Atlanta, would be such a great place to have a bigger, more productive scene as
absolutely.
A whole in the urban
space. Absolutely. Yeah. Not only creatively, we have some of the best talent, but the business is here as well. You know, Music Row is nothing to sneeze at about having those brick
and... We have a lot of infrastructure.
Yes, yes. Having those brick and mortar buildings there and not a suite and a shopping center or something like that. You know, we have the resources and we have the creativity, and bringing those two together for the urban music scene is crucial, I think, for Nashville in order to level up in the game and in the business. So yeah, I definitely think having community infrastructure is important and is needed, especially with the climate of Nashville. So many people are moving from major metropolitan areas and don't necessarily want to be in a country music town or anything like that. So they want to know what else Nashville has to offer. And so just us and a handful of others that are doing some of the similar things that we're doing, just trying to cultivate infrastructure and opportunity for the urban music community. We are not alone. There's a small tribe of us all pushing to make Nashville's urban scene as great as Nashville's country music scene.
I love that. So walk me through some of your evolution. You say you right now you're getting around 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys first started, how did you start to grow it, and how do you see it moving forward?
So I attended, prior to being in business with Aaliyah, I was a recipient of the services, and I was an assistant, so to speak. I believed in the vision that she had for the music scene. And so as a creative, absolutely 100% beneficial. I've built probably 60-75% of my network from these mixers. But I wouldn't go and just kind of meet. Like, I am intentional when I go into a space to network. And she had created these bands that specified, there were color-coded bands that specified who was who. And I heard so many of my fellow creatives, you know, this is so needed. They were so, I mean, we have so many testimonials.
That's how you get so many people.
We have so many testimonials about, wow, where is this at? Where has this been? When is the next one? And so it built really by organic word of mouth, because there was nothing
just
here.
Pure need, you know. It's kind of the, if you build it, they will come. You know, literally. Kind of, it was just that simple. These people were thirsty.
Very thirsty.
Thirsty for somebody to pay them any kind of attention, give them a voice, a platform, somewhere, you know, to express themselves. And I saw that need. And again, it wasn't just me. It was me being in a position of music business and working in corporate and seeing
the whole,
hey guys, we are really missing out on a tremendous opportunity here being on in music business corporate side. You know, I'm just not a fan, you know, this is what I do, and I want to be in a position to help people, pull them up, advance them, whatever small step that is. I'm not saying I can go out and get you $1 million deal with, you know, a big label.
But
if you are someone who needs information, you need a platform, you need some way to express yourself.
You need resources.
You need just someone to collaborate with. Nashville's not just country music, can be that for you wherever you are. And that's just the main goal.
Obviously, you've been doing this for a minute. You've got some good collabs. Can you point to some successes?
Absolutely.
Or see how this is moving forward? I mean, it may not be $1 million deals.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you something.
She's ready. She's excited.
Let me tell you something. I appreciate every... Oh, man, there's so much talent here. But so early on, we had went to a Derek Minor show. And Derek Minor is a local hip hop artist, and he is like at the top of the independent music game. Like, he is a game changer for sure. And so she's a fan, and that's my friend. We went to school together, and I, you know, you take it for granted when your friends kind of have dope music. And so I had never been to a concert, so I'm like, cool, we'll go. I mean, it is 1,000 in this place. It was at Rocket Town. Mm-hmm. And so a feature comes out. His name at the time is Lil Bree. And this guy is explosive. And I'm like, whoa. And he walked away, and she said, now that's a star. So we set a meeting up with him maybe a couple weeks later. We met quickly just to kind of get a pulse on where he was at from a business standpoint. And it's funny. So Street Symphony at the time, which is a Grammy Award winning producer here in the from Nashville, Nashville native, and a graduate of my alum, MTSU, Middle Tennessee MTSU State University.
Blue Raiders.
That's right, yeah. Blue Raiders. I ran into him at a party. Actually, it probably was another one of your mm-hmm. events. And I'm like, hey, what's up, Street? I'm songwriting now. You're a producer, like peanut butter jelly. Like, let's make this happen. And he said, send me some music. I sent him something immediately. He responded within a couple of hours. Now, this is a Grammy Award winning producer that's hanging out in Nashville. You know, I've been on 2 Chainz and multiple things. And so he said, hey, I have a young artist that I would like to put you up with. Now, of course, my little dreams was crushed. I'm like, yeah, put me in the room with 2 Chainz. No, honey. Go. Here's an up and coming artist. And so I went to meet this artist, and it was Lil Bree that I had met briefly previously, and he had been out to my studio and everything. And so we began to work together, and I played him some of the stuff that I had, and there was a song called Lights. I played that song for him, and he loved it. He said, I want to cut this record right now. And we cut it that night, and that's just one success story.
You mentioned as you were coming in that you just gotten back from LA mm-hmm. and doing some work out there.
Right.
So
yes.
Are you seeing attention starting to get focused on what you're doing here from outside of town to help build out this infrastructure or
correct?
Network,
it takes time.
Yeah. That we have a small morsel of a seed that we are
watering
and cultivating the soil and things like that. There definitely is interest in what Nashville has to offer. The music industry already knows about Nashville, but there is understanding that there is more to country music, you know, in Nashville. So LA is paying attention. New York is paying attention. Labels are sending representatives here, you know, to kind of see what's going on and things like that. And that's a part of what we're doing, is getting to know who those people are so they can know who the talent is here and be paying attention to what's going on. And again, to help cultivate and get the money flowing. I mean, that's the main goal.
That's the main goal.
We want to get the money flowing to the urban music community here. You know,
that's going to help build it.
You know what I mean? So whether it's a placement, a cut, a single release, you know, a world tour, whatever that capacity is, we are just wanting to help position people and empower them to monetize their creativity. You know, that's the goal. So yes, building up those LA relationships. We have a situation, a sync licensing deal with Riptide. So mm-hmm. we and everything works together. So we do urban songwriters rounds.
I was just going to talk about the evolution.
Through the mixers. Then I saw the writers' rounds. First of all, are Nashville
tradition.
Thing. You know, yeah. They don't do those in LA. They don't do those in that is a Nashville thing. And so I wanted to do something like that, but again, give the urban music community an opportunity. So it's the same format: acoustic, dialed back. You know, guitar, keys,
round with a twist.
That's it. But when you come, you're going to get hip hop. You're going to get pop. You're going to get R&B, you're going to get gospel, you're going to get a little bit of everything.
Alternative.
All at the same time on the same stage. And you would think, well, gospel and hip hop really isn't going to work, or pop and gospel isn't going to work. But does it work?
We are very intentional about the eclectic representation of all genres outside, other than country music. There's so much. I mean, and it is... I will call it, like, I remember the first round, and this is when we were at the local over on West End, and we'll talk about the evolution of that, but I remember a lot of people saying, like, this feels like church.
Ah,
It was so good.
It felt like church because there has been a lack of community in Nashville as it pertains to urban music. So just getting everybody gathered in the same space at the same time and kind of jamming out, because a lot of times in our rounds, we get into this space that is just like we already know each other and we just start like going to a whole nother level. And so people walk away impacted.
Yeah, it feels good. And again, it's all community. So writers and artists that are on the stage together that might not have never heard of each other are now
connected.
That was a great song. We should write together. So they're exchanging numbers and things like that and wanting to get into the studio and work together. So it's all those kinds of things. And then we can use the writers' rounds again. You know what? That was a great song. There might be an opportunity for that in sync. Let's talk about it, you know, off the stage. So everything that we do works together for, again, trying to get these artists some kind of exposure and opportunity to monetize.
See, I love, again, when I was starting out in the 90s and doing some of that, I never did writer rounds, but I tried to get groups together to showcase their music, because that uniqueness of what a ride around is, especially for those that haven't experienced it like you just did. That's why I love what we do here. And when you sit just and bury things down to just the song, it is a spiritual thing. And that's where people also, that's why it's worked so well in Nashville. And I think once it kind of, I still will give it to the Nashville TV show, a little spotlight on it nationally, songwriters, it blew up for us here. The venues, like the Bluebird, you can't even get in. So to see other people experience the beauty of that and see what that does, because to your point, it is such a great way to showcase your talent.
Right.
And how else are you going to do that, you know, and get the community together and go, oh my goodness, that person is amazing.
Right. Because you really, it's so much more intimate. It's not this, and hip hop has a lot of production to it. So to really dial that back
and to really hear.
I mean, to really
hear the challenges some people too, because you're naked up there when it's just you and your words.
You are
but
so
right. It connects so well. We had for the first time I ever saw a hip hop artist playing the keys while he performed hip hop.
It was so good.
Never seen it in my life.
So good. So good. We have now moved to Acme Downtown. That's our new home for the year for 2020. The writers,
prime time, baby.
Right.
Prime time.
Urban's Writers Rounds are every third Wednesday of the month at Acme, so you have plenty of time to come out and check out all the cool talent that we put up there. It's show is at 6, you know, we have on average 4 to 5 writers each round, and again, it's representative of everyone, you know, genre, race, and gender.
I will say this. We talked about the evolution of the scene, and so it's not just artists, creatives, advocates like Music Queen, but it's also the venues. You know, when you talk about building the culture.
Right.
So it's the venues who support, you know, music outside of country. So again, that was the local, and then we were at True Music Room for about 6 to 8 months, and now being at Acme, and these are 5 spots. There's several venues that support. So it's all about connecting all of these dots. Our movement with Nashville is not just country music, is just that. It's connecting all of these dots that are going to be very instrumental in moving the mission forward.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform and follow us at AIMP Nashville to keep up with news, events, panels, and even new episodes. The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is created by executive producers Dale Bobo and Tim Hunsey, producer Brandon Harrington, mixing and editing by Casey Porter. Thanks for listening and supporting the AIMP Nashville Pubcast.